Welcome back to Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper recovering from a severe back injury still, and he appreciates your support and your wishes. Thank you. From Borders to Barnes & Noble to the bookstore around the corner, the world of books and bookstores have suffered a tremendous blow in recent years, but amid all of the store closings, Amazon, and electronic reading devices, Books & Books has not only survived, but continues to thrive. With three locations in South Florida, plus stores in Grand Cayman, West Hampton Beach, and the Miami International Airport, Books & Books is bucking the trend. Why is that? Well, let's find out. Joining us now is Mitchell Kaplan. He's the founder of Books & Books, and that was in 1982, the co-founder of the beloved Miami Book Fair International, now approaching its 31st anniversary. Mitchell's a native of Miami Beach, and he received the Literarian Award for outstanding service to the American literary community in 2011. By the way, past recipients of this prestigious award include Lawrence Ferlinghetti and Maya Angelou. So, Mitchell joins us in our studios. Welcome. Great to have you back.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
It's a pleasure.
It's great to be here with Bonnie. But I have to say that I'm also used to being here with Joe, and I want to give Joe my very best wishes for a very, very speedy recovery.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So, okay, what's the secret formula? Why is Books & Books creating its great success?
Well, you know, we are now moving into a period after great losses of bookstores all over the country. We're moving into a period where I think people are beginning to understand the importance of local business and what local business can bring to a community. And everything that we've always been about from the beginning, from 33 years ago when we opened the very first Books & Books, it was always about serving as one of those great good places in the community. I remember our very first events we had, which were community-wide poetry readings, and bringing authors like Isaac Singer in. We wanted to always serve the community, and I think these days communities are now beginning to understand that locally homegrown entities are very, very good, and the uniqueness of them is something that's being celebrated. So while independent bookstores have seen a decrease over the last 15, 20 years. In the last 3 years, we've actually seen more independent bookstores opening and more younger people getting involved in bookselling. It's been really a wonderful thing to see.
So where has that been happening? Where is this happening where you've seen...
Well, we're seeing it in places like Brooklyn, for instance. There's a renaissance of bookstores in Brooklyn. There's a marvelous small bookstore that just opened with a young woman who's very committed in Athens, Georgia, named Avid Books. There are bookstores opening. There's one recently that opened in Kansas. So there are people who are rediscovering the idea that big isn't necessarily best, that you can have a modest or small-sized bookstore and still make quite a difference in your community.
And make a living.
Well, that's a whole nother issue. Most people do this out of a sense of passion.
I know.
As opposed to making a living. I threaten my kids often with the fact that they're the, you know, don't be careful. You're going to have to take this over one day.
Speaking of which, you know, one of the favorite things I read recently, did you read the article on the Argosy bookstore in the 23rd
Argosy bookstore
in New Yorker? That was just, I mean, that's
well,
been...
Well, that's a bookstore I used to go to all the time. I mean, you know, you have these classic old out-of-print bookstores or who deal with rare books. And some of the, there is a market for all of that that still exists. So what's happening is that books are not going anywhere fast. I mean, we were afraid, a lot of people spelled the end of the physical book when the e-book started rearing its ugly head, and ebook readers. But there are statistics that I just read yesterday that show that over the last 2 years, there's actually been a leveling off of ebook adoption.
Oh.
And also, the other thing that happens is that people who read ebooks also read regular books as well. They read physical books. So
often,
reader,
when they're traveling or whatever.
A reader is a reader. And true readers love the physicality of the book. I mean, there's something very perfect about it.
Exactly. Well, what are you reading? We do want to hear from you. What are you reading, or what would you like to read? Or if you've recently traveled abroad, we're going to talk about international book the state of books internationally also. Wherever your travels may have taken you, tell us about your observations on the book scene there. Call us at 866-247, excuse me, that's the wrong number, that's the pledge number.
You can pledge too.
No, it's 1-800-743-9576. What are you reading right now?
You know, Bonnie, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because you know that question, what are you reading? That is the question that dominates bookselling all across the world. I was just in Australia, believe it or not. I was speaking at the Australian Booksellers Association, and then I went to the Sydney Writers Festival just about 3-4 weeks ago. And I was just amazed at how healthy and interesting the literary community is in Australia, a country really that's huge, but it only has 18 or 22 million people. And there were bookstores seemingly on every single block. Some very tiny, some big. The chains haven't really dominated. There was Borders there, but then Borders went out of business.
Right.
But when I would walk into a bookstore and I would meet a bookseller and they'd know I was from the States, the first question that would be asked is, what are you reading?
Mm.
No matter where you are, that's a question that dominates.
Yeah, it brings the world together, doesn't it?
Completely.
Okay, we're going to, let me give the number again. It's 1-800-743-9576. What are you reading? What would you like to read? And we're going to give recommendations as well. You can also email radio@wlrn.org. I just want to mention, Mitchell, you recently started live streaming select author events, which I would think broadens your reach in a huge way.
It's really kind of amazing. Now we're able to hit the entire world through the internet. And what we do is for most of our readings now, you can actually go to our website the night of a reading and you can see it in HD. The quality is remarkable. And we also allow you, if you want, to call the bookstore and you can get the book autographed by the author and even personalized. And then we send it out freight free to wherever you are around the country. And it's funny because when I was in Australia, and I told that to the Australian booksellers that I spoke to, a number of them started watching our live streams, and we started getting all of these viewers from Australia as well, which was
great. That were also writing in for books as well? That they wanted books as well?
Well, a lot of them were booksellers, so
they
didn't need, they have the books themselves.
Right,
but,
right.
But I think opening the world, giving access to what we're able to do to other communities that might not have these authors there is something that I'm very much committed
to. It's a great idea. And what is this with the Knight? You're a finalist for a Knight?
We are, because we've been doing this for a year and we applied for a grant in order to help offset the cost. From the Knight Foundation, because it's quite expensive. And also what we're able to do is bring local authors, people who live here in Miami, to a wider audience through the live streaming.
Yeah, I would think.
And that's something that we're also very much committed to.
And what about the world of publishing? What's going on? Are you moving in that direction yourself?
Well, we're providing publishing services, and we've done it with a number of different books. Many of them are illustrated books. So we did a book with Annette Bonnier called, it's called India's Elephants. We've done a book with Sharon Sokol, a marvelous book of photographs that she's taken called Plus One. Her husband ran Barney's, so she was always the Plus One, and she took these backscene, photographs of it. We also helped package a number of books to regular publishers, so we did two Bunny Yeager books, and we mourn her passing, but we did a book of called Bunny's Dark Room. It's really the first and only full-life account. The account of her full life through her work. And this fall, there will be a book coming out through Rizzoli of all of Betty Page photographs.
Oh.
And there'll be a lot of new photographs that haven't been seen as well. So we've been doing that. We did something with Carolina Garcia Aguilera. A marvelous book called Magnolia.
So when you say you packaging them, what does that mean?
It means that we help put it all together and then then give it to a publisher publish. In some cases, we'll do it ourselves under Books and Books Press. but we work very closely with the authors. So the author owns the copyright, you know, and that sort of thing. So the author can control what happens with his or her book.
Right. Okay, let's take a couple of calls before we go to our break. And I assume we have to go to a break. Yes, we do. Okay, Clotilde in Miami Beach. Welcome. What's your what are you reading?
Hello.
Hi, Clotilde.
Yes.
Hi.
Nice to have you both on the phone. Yes, it's a funny coincidence. I didn't think this would come up. You mentioned Bunny Yeager, and I had the pleasure of interviewing her, and it actually ran on WLRN. But this is not about me. It's about books and about what bookstores do for our cities. And one of the books I'm reading, because I'm very interested in architecture and history, and that's one of the reasons I think we choose to live here in South Florida, is we have interesting architecture. And I'm reading a book called Architecture in Uniform by Jean-Louis Cohen. It was a big exhibit up in Montreal and now over in Paris. It's Designing and Building for the Second World War. And it's just so many fascinating revelations about huge sites in our country when they were preparing the A-bomb or trying to have, camouflage cities so that cities wouldn't get bombed in the West Coast. They thought the Japanese would come and bomb us on the West Coast, so they invented these camouflage faux cities. So that's kind of interesting. And I did have a question.
Okay.
It relates to the scale, and I think the charm of a bookstore in our cities today. And I think this will be a polemical conversation soon for Lincoln Road. Books and Books manages to keep an intimate scale, an atmosphere. It's a living, changing thing. And I see, unfortunately, a lot of pressure just to put square miles of glass in retail and, you know, mannequins and clothes. And I think that Lincoln Road has such a remarkable built environment that Mr. Lapidus understood, that was created in the 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So I commend Books and Books for keeping the local atmosphere, the built environment, the scale. And I wonder if he too worries at times that that even Lincoln Road could become like just another banal, overly retail, just too many mannequins and too much glass.
All right, let's see, and we're going to have to go to break, so we're going to have to get your answer off the air. Okay, Clotilde?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mitchell?
Are we at break now?
No.
Oh, okay. That's a very, very complicated issue that you bring up, Clotilde, one that's very close to me. I grew up on Miami Beach, and I've seen the ups and downs of Lincoln Road for the last 50 years or so. We've been on Lincoln Road for 30 years. I have always felt that Lincoln Road was a place that was different from most shopping streets. The most troubling thing for me is the uniformity that I'm beginning to see on Lincoln Road. It's been a marvelous situation if you own a building on Lincoln Road, or if you own property on Lincoln Road. But I think ultimately the quality of life for those who either remember it, who are local, will ultimately suffer, because I liken it to something that I've watched over the years happen in Santa Monica, California, with the Third Street Promenade that I used to go to when it was a very, very interesting place, with used bookshops, with very interesting little stores, with local businesses. And it too has gone the way of basically an outdoor mall. And what I would hate to see is for Lincoln Road to completely go that way. We are still there. We hope to be there for a long, long time. I would like to see other small businesses being attracted to Lincoln Road.
Can they afford it?
They cannot afford it at this time.
Right.
There are things that the city could do. There are things that developers could do to encourage local businesses to stay there, move in, have a unique situation occur. I guess what's happening is, because of the economics on Lincoln Road, that's why you're beginning to see more energy happen in places like Wynwood and other less expensive places.
Where it's still affordable.
Where it's still affordable. Because ultimately, Lincoln Road, as you say, you know, with the legacy of Lapidus, Lincoln Road is one of the great streets in the world. And for it to become nothing more than Dadeland Mall would be very sad.
We're speaking with Mitchell Kaplan from Books and Books, and we want to hear what you're reading. We're going to get to all of you. We just ask you to be patient, Brad and Natasha, and, oh, somebody was there, and now we're not there anymore. 1-800-743-9576. Let us take that break, and we'll be right back.
The Miami Herald calls it riotously funny. City Theater's Summer Shorts Festival, the Adrian Arch Center for the Performing Arts, runs now through July 6th. This may be your chance to laugh your way into summer. You'll see 10 of some of the nation's hottest award-winning short plays on one stage in one night. Roger Martin warns, caution, you may hurt yourself laughing. Summer Shorts may be the most fun you'll have at the theater this summer. Tickets at 305-949-6722 or archcenter.org. South Florida Theater League and 91.3 WLRN offer same-day, half-price tickets at leading regional theaters and cultural organizations, including Slow Burn Theater, City Theater, The Plaza Theater, and Broward Stage Door. Information and a complete list of shows online at culturalconnection.org. Culturalconnection.org, your ticket to the cultural arts. You can see internationally renowned Lego artist Nathan Sawaya's never-before-seen-in-Florida In Pieces collection, on display now at the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood. Information at artandculturecenter.org.
And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman visiting with Mitchell Kaplan, and we're finding out about the world of books and what you're reading. And we do want to hear from you. We just ask that you be patient. It's 1-800-743-9576, or you can email radio@wlrn.org. And Mitchell, what are you reading?
Well, there's a marvelous book that I'm recommending called A Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey. It's published by Algonquin Books in hardcover.
Say it again, the name, because Peter's writing these down.
The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey.
Okay.
It's a marvelous account of a bookseller living in a New England island community, something that I've always dreamed about doing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I read this book, I completely identified with it. But it's a book that has redemption in it. It's about a bookseller who's going through a very tough time in his life. Just lost his wife.
Personal.
The bookstore is not doing very well.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, he also had stolen his most valuable book, which was a collection of Edgar Allan Poe's poetry. And then out of the blue, what's left on his doorstep is a little child. And with that, his whole life opens up and his whole life begins to change. And there isn't, if you have a love of books and you want to get a sense of what it's like to be in a bookstore, this is a book that you must put on your list. It celebrates books. It celebrates the considered life. It celebrates people doing things out of a sense of passion. And it has such a wonderful spirit behind it. It was on the bestseller list for many, many weeks, and it was published probably about 2 months ago.
Okay.
And by Gabriel Zevin is the author, and it's one that I highly, highly recommend.
Okay, we're going to get some more recommendations from you after we speak to Brad in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Brad.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi.
Listen, the question was, what are you reading now? And before I answer that, I just want to echo Mr. Kaplan's sentiments about the importance of preserving some semblance of the original character and flavor of Lincoln Road. I think the first time I was down there was 1971, which was before his business would have opened. But for the record, I am against the homogeneity of of turning that place into something that looks like everywhere else.
Okay.
What I just finished reading, and which has been already reviewed on NPR, is a book called Lovers at the Chameleon Club, Paris 1932, written by a woman with the absolutely perfect writer's name of Francine Prose. And Ms. Prose has apparently won everything there is to win, short of the Pulitzer and the Nobel. But the reason I'm recommending this book to other readers who might be interested, you know, over the years since the end of World War II, there have been millions of pages written, thousands of trees cut down to try to answer the question of how could this have happened? How could an entire country have been seduced by the Nazis? And in the period of time that they occupied France and the other countries of Europe, how could people have collaborated with them? And it's basically a book and a story about folks that begins before the war, and then the last half of the book is when the war comes, what sides do these people choose up, and you know, what do they do once they choose? And if you've ever really, really thought deeply about the question of how could this have happened, there are a number of personal passages, because the book is written not as a singular narrative, but as excerpts from people's diaries or letters that they write home and stuff. It will answer that question.
Okay, Brad.
You know, Brad, that was on my list as a book to recommend, and you did it so eloquently, more eloquently than I could have done it.
I do want to say, however, this is a difficult read. Ms. Prose is she's a very, very gifted writer, but the structure of the book is a bit complicated, so it's a bit challenging. But I would tell people to stick with it, because the prose, pardon my pun, is absolutely gorgeous. The structure of the book is brilliant, and there are some eternal truths buried in there for folks of particular generations who may want to know what that period of history meant and what it means to us going forward.
Okay, Brad, thank you very much. That was also on Vivian Evans' list. Okay, let's go to Natasha in Fort Lauderdale and get her recommendation. Hi, Natasha. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I just finished reading Elizabeth Gilbert's The Signature of All Things, and I wanted to recommend it because I feel like everybody's kind of pigeonholed her into the Eat, Pray, Love, which was a great book as well, but this is completely different.
Say the name again, please.
The Signature of All Things.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of a historical fiction. So you go through this young woman's life, and even though she's a fictional character, you do get a bit of the history that was going on at the end of the 1700s and, you know, the early 1800s and throughout her life. So it's, but it's also very interesting, the character development, and just, I also wanted to ask, you know, what you guys think about authors that kind of, you know, they write these great books that people love and everybody acclaims, like Eat, Pray, Love, and then they come out with something completely different, such as this, and it's almost hard for people to even think about, you know, reading something else from them that's not what they wrote before, you know?
Well, you know, right. That's a really great question, mm-hmm. And what's really interesting about Elizabeth is that she did a second book after Eat, Pray, Love that didn't do as well as the book that you just read. And I think she hit her stride. She had to get that second book out of her system for her to write a completely different kind of book. And I think she's getting all kinds of wonderful notices on this book. And I think she's changed directions, which I think was a very smart thing for her to do. And I would recommend to you, if you Google it or you find it on YouTube, there is a TED Talk that she gave, which talks a little bit about and answers a little bit about the question that you just mentioned or that you just raised. She's a terrific writer, and I think we're going to hear much more from her. She certainly isn't a one-hit wonder, because, you know, she wrote two books before she wrote Eat, Pray, Love as well. So she's a writer for our era, I think.
Okay, Natasha, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. And Margarita is recommending Last Orders by Graham Swift.
I love Graham Swift's work, and he Last Orders is a tremendous book.
Engrossing story all the way to Margate. She tells a little about it.
Yeah, no. It came out a number of years ago, and it was one of my favorite books for many, many years.
Okay, and we have, let's see, just finished an author I heard read it, Gable's Books and Books, The Last Resort by Norma Watkins. This is Clay's recommendation. Like the Patrick O'Brien series of books on the British Navy, this is not a topic which holds any independent appeal for me, but it's so funny, brutally honest, and beautifully written that I had to recommend it.
Well, she's our very own Norma Watkins, who lives part-time in Miami.
Oh.
And it's an autobiography based on her experience growing up in Mississippi as a kind of unconventional young girl who took on all of the prejudices, and she wouldn't stand for what she saw around her, basically. And it is a tremendous book.
Okay, and Peter recommends, he's been immersed in the vivid, if florid, writing of the 19th century novelist Willie Collins, currently reading Armadale and loving it.
Yeah, the Wilkie Collins, most famous for Moonstone, and I'm sure he'll hit that one eventually as well. But as we talk about Mississippi, I have to mention a book. You know, it's always the bookseller's job to bring books that maybe people haven't necessarily heard of, and that's what I always love to do. And it's what happens on this radio station. Alan Chuse typically does a marvelous mm-hmm. job when he does his reviews. He brings books that maybe not everyone has heard about. And I'd just like to bring to everyone's attention a book by Lisa Howarth. It's called Flying Shoes. It's her first novel. And Lisa's from Oxford, Mississippi. And this is a very, very moving personal tale which tells about a 9-year-old boy who was killed and murdered on Mother's Day in 1966. Mm. And it was an unsolved murder. And one day, the sister of that boy wakes up to a call from somebody who believes that they have made inroads on solving the murder. So this woman now has to confront everything that happened deeply in her past. But it's told with humor, it's told with a kind of sassiness, and it's a marvelous book called Flying Shoes.
Okay.
So I recommend that to everyone.
And the author again was?
Lisa Howarth.
Lisa Howarth, okay. I'm trying to do these a little more slowly for Peter Jay, who's writing them down, so we'll have a link to them.
I've got them
website.
All written down for
okay.
him as well.
Okay. Let's see. Michael in Delray Beach wants to recommend something. Oh, no, this is Warren. Hi, Warren. You're going to talk about small publishers and art books, but we're really looking for what you're reading.
Oh, I got it a little late.
Yeah, that's...
I haven't been doing as much reading as working on upcoming books for another publisher.
Okay,
And when I heard Mr. Kaplan's talking about his service of packaging for publishers, I pretty much understood what that meant, because mm-hmm. for 4 books now, that's what I here at Chamber of Fantasy have been called upon to do.
Right.
And I wanted to be able to do more. So when I heard that, my little ears pricked up.
Okay. You know, we'll save that for another show, Bonnie, I think.
Okay. All right, Warren.
That's fine. Lots of good luck with the good things you're doing. And to Joe, if you hear, I hope he gets well soon.
Thank you so much, Warren.
Now, was he from Hollywood?
Warren
no, Delray
is
Beach.
From Delray.
Delray, okay. Way
or today
up
it's Delray Beach.
Okay. Well, someone who we need to... I recommend to everyone out there is someone who lives in Dania, but he teaches at FIU. He's one of the great, great professors of creative writing. His name is John Dufresne.
Ah.
And John has his new book, just came out in paperback.
I love his writing.
Called No Regrets Coyote.
Right, right.
And it's his foray into the mystery genre. And,
oh, that's great.
His main character, I love the name, Wiley Coyote Melville, who's a therapist and forensic consultant. So make sure you look for that one, No Regrets Coyote, by our very own John Dufresne.
Dufresne. Okay, Marcy, reading list includes the final installation of Margaret Atwood's Mad Adam series, 100 Years of Solitude by Marquez, Ficciones by Neruda, On Writing by Stephen King, and an anthology of supernatural noir stories.
What a great list.
Isn't it?
What a great summer if someone were to take all of those titles and just go through all of them.
Did you get those, Peter? It's Margaret Atwood's Mad Adam series, 100 Years of Solitude by, of course, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, Ficciones by Neruda, and On Writing by Stephen King. Okay, another one, Mitchell?
Well, I like to talk about some of our local guys as well.
Yeah.
And Carl Hyacin, you know, has a new kids book coming out in the fall. But for those of you who love his columns, there is a collection that's just been published called Dance of the Reptiles.
Oh, we had him on the program.
Rampaging tourists, marauding pythons, mm-hmm. larcenous legislators, crazed celebrities, and tarballed beaches. So that's one that that should be fun on the beach
as well,
in very short takes.
Okay, Michael in Delray Beach also has a recommendation. Hi, Michael. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, here's my recommendation. I came across a book that I'm still reading. It's called The Shock Doctrine. It's by Naomi Klein. And very briefly, it's fascinating. It's one of these books you cannot put down. It seems like she began writing this book as her dissertation. And it evolved into where a lot of people, their dissertations become a published book. It's out in paperback, and it basically discusses the politics of global politics, where she's arguing that there's a lot of shocks that are created by governments and or policies of politicians that shocks the public or the polity and forces change in systems,
mm-hmm.
change in government, change in how governments regulate things, and it's global. And it addresses some of the policies of the Reagan administration and Margaret Thatcher and Pinochet and his administrations. Very enlightening in the fact that it basically gives you a clear understanding of what has happened in the latter half of the 20th century and a better understanding of what's going on now.
And, you know, even though the book was published a while ago, it still has a lot of relevance. I remember when she spoke at the bookshop, and I think this is a book that maintains its relevance, so anyone out there might want to pick it up even now.
Okay, Michael, thank you so much.
Along those lines of nonfiction, there's a new book by Kai Bird called The Good Spy, The Life and Death of Robert Ames. Kai Bird is a Pulitzer Prize-winning biographer, and this is a compelling portrait of the remarkable life and death of one of the most important operatives in CIA history. So if you tend toward nonfiction, you might want to pick up this summer The Good Spy, The Life and Times of Robert Ames by Kai Bird.
Actually, Kai Bird got in touch with Tom Hudson, and he sent it to me to maybe have him on the program for
And you should.
That book.
He's
yes.
a very articulate spokesperson.
Okay, and Ed loved Flash Mob by local author Robert O'Connell. You familiar with that? Okay, comedy mystery, and the title has a double meaning as it's about a mob family in New Jersey. And the sequel will feature some of the same characters, will be set largely on a cruise ship out of South Florida. So that's Flash Mob by local author Robert O'Connell. And let's talk to Ira in Miami. Hi, Ira. Hi.
Hi. I called because I wanted to recommend a book that was published quite a while ago called The Last of the Just.
Oh, you just struck a nerve with me. It's one of my all-time favorite books. But go ahead and speak about it.
It was recommended to me by a client of mine. He told me it changed his life. I didn't quite understand what he meant. He came from a very middle America background, had never really interacted with Jewish people. I grew up in a family that that had Holocaust survivors in it, and I read this book, having read many books about the Holocaust before, and this is the first one that was totally, absolutely emotional. It had nothing to do with the facts. It had to do with the feeling, how it happened, what it was like for the people. It was a beautiful, beautiful book, and the title is based on a an old Talmudic tale that you know, there are 13 just men in the world at any one time.
Well, and it's a novel. I need to make that clear. And it's by Andre Schwartzbart. And what it does really is it takes you through the history of Jewish persecution as well, because it's not just about the Holocaust, but it takes you up through the Holocaust, and you really get a sense of the last just man who's affected by the Holocaust, this Hasidic tale that you mentioned. And I thank you for bringing that up. It's still in print. And any of you who are in book clubs, it's a remarkable book for a book group as well.
Thank you, Ira, so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Mitchell, what's your next recommendation?
Well, Greg Iles.
That's what's Natchez Burning?
Natchez.
Somebody
Natchez,
just
Mississippi.
Roseanne just recommended that as well. Go on.
Well, Natchez Burning is a fantastic book by Greg Iles, and Roseanne has great taste. It was a number one New York Times bestseller. He's also a member of the Rock Bottom Remainders, the band that Dave Barry has put together over the years. But it's the first of three, and it's a broad history of that part of the world. And it's not an easy read. It's got a lot of violence. It's tough, but it is brutally honest and beautifully written. And what's really wonderful is that Greg is also an extremely accomplished mystery writer. So it has that narrative that keeps going. And even though the book itself is about 700 pages, you just fly through those pages. It's called Natchez Burning.
Natchez Burning, you know, which brings up a point I wanted to ask you about that I talked to Vivian about. And, of course, Vivian was the manager at the Beach Store forever, and she's a great reader. She's a great writer and a great raconteur.
And that's because she's Irish.
And that's because she's Irish, of course. They all are. But one of the things that Vivian and I were talking about, because there are all these books, The Goldfinch, which you can't keep on your shelves, by Donna Tartt.
Right.
And I was given, which I have not finished because I have a few other things to read. Luminaries by Eleanor Caton, that also is going off the shelf. That's 800 pages. Goldfinch, 700 pages. The one you just mentioned. I'm thinking Far from the Tree, which is hundreds of pages. And if in fact these, you know, people are saying, oh, nobody wants books, they're too heavy, they don't want to carry around these tomes anymore, why are they flying off the shelf?
Because they're beautiful, wonderfully written stories. Ultimately, people want great stories, whether they're short, whether they're long. People hunger for story. And that's why books will always be with us.
And on that note, let's take a break on today's Topical Currents. We're speaking with Mitchell Kaplan. What are you reading? 1-800-743-9576. And Mitchell is giving us a great list for our summer reading. We'll take that break and be right back.
We're funded by listeners like you and by ConservArt.net, specializing in the cleaning and restoration of paintings, prints, and art objects damaged by age, accidents, mold, flood, or fire. Insurance claims are a specialty. Details at ConservArt.net.
If you're having a hard time selling that old car or truck or just don't want the bother of selling it, the WLRN Vehicle Donation Program can help. Just call 877-WLRN-CAR, 877-957-6227, or donate online at WLRN.org. Donating is easy when the tow truck comes to your home and picks up the vehicle. They give you the paperwork that you'll need and relieve the stress of what to do with the old car that just won't sell. That's 877-WLRN-CAR or donate online at WLRN.org.
The powerful movie Ida, the story of a young nun, her worldly aunt, and anti-Semitism in 1960s Poland opens exclusively tomorrow in Miami at the Gable Cinema. The LA Times calls it a film of exquisite artistry. Details at GableCinema.com.
The disease of addiction doesn't discriminate based on age or status. Comprehensive addiction treatment and recovery are offered for older adults and baby boomers at Hanley Center. 855-718-2233. Hanley Center. Recovery for life.
Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman, Mitchell Kaplan, and you and your book recommendations. What are you reading? And I'm going to ask you all now, because we have about 10 minutes left, and in that 10 minutes, we'd like to get as many books as possible. So if you could just tell us the book, the name, and not too much about it, that would be great. I'm going to recommend one now, Mitchell. One of my favorite books ever is Remains of the Day by Ishiguro, which I love so much. And I even like Never Let Me Go, and I just love his writing so much. So Remains of the Day.
Great. I'm glad you got the word out about that. That's fantastic.
Okay.
And I'm so happy to see the board lighting up.
Yes,
with
yes.
all of these recommendations.
Yes,
in the middle
great.
Of the day.
That's right. And that's because they're not working. They're listening. Okay. Let's talk to Ruben in South Miami. Hi, Ruben.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Mitch.
Hi.
I just finished One Summer by Bill Bryson. Interesting history of 1927.
Thank you. That's okay. Great. You know, I read his book when I went to Australia, In a Sunburned Country. He is hilarious. And
he's so great.
He's so bright, so smart, so clever.
Okay, the name of the book again?
One Summer by Bill Bryson.
One Summer. Okay, Ruben, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go to Leslie, who's been waiting a long time in Key West. Hi, Leslie.
Leslie put us
is
on hold.
Is that the book? Leslie?
I think she put us on hold.
I think she did, too. Leslie, are you back? Okay. All right, we'll go to Mercedes in Homestead. Hi, Mercedes.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, what's your book?
Hi.
What are you reading?
Okay, actually, I'm reading from Dr. Dwayne Dyer, the motivational speaker. I'm reading Inspiration, Your Ultimate Calling, and it's a great, great book.
Terrific.
You okay, know, very good.
The summertime is,
alrighty.
Summertime is a good time to read books that renew you,
mm-hmm.
so you get ready for the fall.
That's right. And let's see. Thank you very much, Mercedes.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And Francesca is reading. She's a fan of Eric Larson. Just finished Thunderstruck. Have read Devil in the White City 3 times. And do you know if Garden of Beasts is being made into a movie?
I'm sure that it will be.
She said she heard Tom Hanks bought the rights.
Yeah, I'm sure that it will be.
Okay. All right. So that was Thunderstruck by Eric Larson. What's your next one, Mitchell?
Well, you know, I'll just run through a few that I think...
just say them slowly enough so Peter can write them, even though you're going to give him the list.
I will. J.K. Rowling, everyone knows, writes mysteries under the name of Robert Galbraith, and her new one just has been released called The Silk Worm, so I recommend that one. She wrote The Cuckoo's Calling, which was her last mystery, but The Silkworm delivers as well. So that would be one. Another one would be The Rise and Fall of Great Powers by Tom Rockman. Tom Rockman wrote The Imperfectionists a couple of years ago. And this, too, is like that one, has books at its center. The last one had writing and newspapers at its center. And it's very intricate, really interesting, loved by people like Janet Maslin at the New York Times, Ron Charles at the Washington Post. It takes place on 3 different continents over a period of 30 years, something you can really sink your teeth into. Also, some of the favorites that have been sticking around is Stephen King has a new one called Mr. Mercedes, and he's always fun to read.
Of course.
There's also a very beautifully written book by Anthony Doerr called All the Light We Cannot See. All the Light We Cannot See.
Anthony
Doerr, D-O-E-R-R.
Okay.
And then Alan Furst, who writes these remarkably atmospheric suspense, World War II. There's nobody who paints a better picture of that period than Alan Furst, has his new book out called Midnight in Europe. So those are a few more that I would recommend as
Okay, and several of the ones you recommended were on Viv's list for the beach as well, The Rise and Fall of Great Powers by Tom Rockman and The Silkworm, Robert. She also recommends One Night in Winter by Simon Sebag Montefiore. Fourth of July Creek by Smith Henderson.
It's the one that I have brought with me for you to take a look at. It's a really, it's by Smith Henderson, and this is a book that will probably be talked about for all kinds of awards later on in the year.
Okay.
It basically talks about the plight of where we are today. If you read Cormac McCarthy's The Road, this has some of that in it. So it's not the most uplifting book to read, but it is a very cathartic read in and of itself.
Okay, let's quickly, try to get to as many of you as we can. Just very quick, we have like just a couple of minutes left. Ben in Miami.
Hi.
Hi.
Bonnie?
Yes.
Oh, wow, I'm so surprised. Hi. I just wanted to recommend a book by Christopher Moore. It's called Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff.
Okay, what's the name of it?
Lamb.
Okay.
And it's a really fantastic read.
Okay, Mitchell.
If you want a good laugh, you read any of Christopher Moore's books. I'm sure you've read through most of them, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. But I think Lamb is a standout as far as it's more whole as a story.
I would agree with you. It is one of his great ones. There's for those of you reading nonfiction again. There's a fantastic book by Joshua Horowitz called War of the Whales, and it's based on a true story that actually happened, and it focuses on this environmental attorney, Joel Reynolds, who one day stumbled upon this very, very secretive operation. It was a submarine surveillance system that flooded the entire ocean with high-intensity sound, really screwing up the whales that were living in this area. And this is a very dramatic retelling of exactly how that was discovered. And for all of the environmentalists out there, this is a book that will be much talked about, War of the Whales.
Okay, The Good Spy, Kai, the name and book and author mentioned before The Good Spy. Oh, Judy, you'll have to go to our website. We'll have them all. We'll have a link to all the, because we don't know which one we mentioned when, to all the books we're mentioning on our website. Okay, quickly. Oh, wait, you have another one.
I have another one. This is one, I don't know how many people really have been paying attention to this this fight between Hachette and Amazon, but Stephen Colbert took up the mantle on behalf of Hachette, and along with Sherman Alexie, the author, was on his show one night and recommended a book called California, and it's by Eden Lepucky, and it's a book that's just being published now. It's a really, really marvelous book. I picked it up because I heard Sherman touting it, and it's about California in a little bit into the future, where LA is sort of a crumbling city, and again, it's a little bit post-apocalyptic, but it is very, very stunning and very moving.
And the author again?
Eden Lepucki, L-E-P-U-C-K-I. And I should just tell anybody out there that you can always go to booksandbooks.com and you can order any of these books that we're talking about. And we also offer free shipping. So you are not penalized for going to our website.
Okay, we have so many of you. Let's go to Marilyn in Boca Raton, who's been waiting the longest. Marilyn, what's your book recommendation? Hi. We have about 30 seconds.
By Gramaine Simpson, The Rosie Project.
That's a lot of fun. Sure.
That's a lot of fun, exactly. It's about a serious topic, and that's somebody that has Asperger's, but how he's learned, he's got a great support system, and how he's learned to deal with his problems.
Okay, great. Say the name of the book again.
The Rosie Project. Great, quick summer read.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And we'll get just one more, Ellen in Pinecrest. Hi, Ellen.
Yes. The Orphan Master's Son. I think his name is Adam Johnson.
Yeah, Adam.
And it takes place in North Korea.
Okay, we can't really go in. We have no time to do that.
But Adam won the Pulitzer for it. And he's a great, great writer.
Okay, yeah. Ellen, thanks so much for that. Okay, and Mitchell, before you go, and I wish we had time for more of your calls, but tell us what's going on with filming, production, what are you doing?
Well, I've created a production company along with a marvelous producer and writer named Paula Mazur. It's called the Mazur Kaplan Company, and we are now in the process of producing a number of films. In fact, one just finished. It's called One Christmas Eve. It's going to be the Hallmark Christmas movie of the year.
Oh.
We also did a pilot called Delirium, which you can now see on Hulu, hulu.com.
Delirium. Based on a book?
Based on a series of books, yeah,
okay.
And it's quite good. But we also are producing which could be great summer reads, and that is the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society, and that should be a movie within the next year. Major Pettigrew's Last Stand, and probably one of my favorite books of all time, Crooked Letter by Tom Franklin. Marvelous book, a really great summer read.
Well, Mitchell Kaplan, we know who Mitchell is, but we'll say he's the founder of Books and Books, co-founder of the Miami Book Fair International, and he currently serves as the fair's chairperson of its board of directors, and he's the recipient of a Literarian Award. Mitchell, thanks so much for being with us.
Bonnie, this was a pleasure. We have to do it again.
We do.
Sooner than later.
We do. And that's our program. We thank you for spending your time with us. Our producer is Richard Ives, with technical direction from Lorenzo Ponce de Leon, and our online producer is Paul Leary. Thanks to Peter Jay for compiling the list of books that'll be on our website, WLRN.org, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/topicalcurrents. Tomorrow it's local author Brad Meltzer and his latest, I Am Rosa Parks.
And I knew he was going to be on.
And you knew he was.
And that's why I didn't say that was one of the great summaries, which
okay.
It is.
He will be here tomorrow. And Linda Gassenheimer, Bonnie Berman, sending best wishes. Thanks for joining us. How do you know Brad Meltzer?